Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. Proverbs, chapter number 3 this morning. I wanted to say thank you to the many people that have been praying for me this week. Most of you know, but maybe not everybody have heard that I was dealing with some severe headaches throughout the week, and finally got to the doctor, helped me a little bit with that to try to figure out what was wrong. So it's been a little bit of a long week, and I'm not whining or complaining, just more saying thank you. And plus, if my words don't make complete sense, it's because I'll blame it on the medicine. So Brother Potter helped preached on Wednesday night, enjoyed his message. Brother Barry helped me this morning. And my plan is to preach this morning and also tonight, but laying around for the whole week makes you a little bit weak also. So you be praying for me and continue to pray for me. I don't know exactly which, there were two different medicines they put me on, which one actually took away the headaches, but I'll be going back to the doctors, the worker there had two different things that were happening, and just excited about not having a throbbing headache. And that lasted for probably almost, it started last Thursday night, and that I was traveling a little bit last week and came back around and went and got better on Sunday and preached Sunday school and Sunday morning. But by the fine Sunday night came around, the headache had come back. It got worse on Monday, even went to the doctor on Tuesday. If you know me, I really don't like going to the doctor, so I had to be really sick in order to go to the doctors. And so Tuesday even went back to the doctors on Wednesday night because it got intensified some. And then by Thursday, started having a little bit of relief. Friday had more relief. And then, was able to work some Thursday, worked a little bit longer on Friday. Yesterday was here for work day some. Just didn't do as much as most people did. So today I'm praying that I can handle both services. If not, Brother Christian's going to be preaching tonight. If for some reason I guess don't feel like or be able to or doesn't seem like it's best. So life verses is something that's interesting. I don't know about you if you have a life verse, and maybe you've never ever heard that phrase before, but a life verse is something that maybe God's worked in your heart so much to a certain verse, you kind of claim it and say, you know what, God's taught me something special here, and as he's taught me, this is how I want to live my life. I've had a few life verses. I don't know if you're really supposed to do that, but as I was younger, there was one verse that meant a lot to me, and then as I grew in the ministry and grew my understanding of the Bible, my life verse is Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. And don't look it up right now, but it's a wonderful verse. We've spoken on it before. If you've been around in the last 5 years, you've heard a message or two on it just because the practical and how the Lord's worked in my heart is about finishing with joy, not letting things move you. But here in Proverbs chapter number 3, I know that there are some life verses that are here that some people would say, this is my life verse, or once again, it might be cheating a little bit by putting these two verses together, but it's in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know that there are a number of people to say, that's my life verse. This is how I want to live. And it's a wonderful verse, and we're going to look at it this morning. And as this week, once again, just kind of laying around trying to get the pressure off my head doesn't really conduce very well for studying, but it does humble you and does realize, hey, there are some things I could learn and need to learn. And this verse has helped me this week. And so we're going to look at this verse. And tonight, we're going to look at a little bit later on, once again, if I feel comfortable with the preaching of it. But we're going to read verses 1. We're going to go all the way down to verse number 12. Two verses that we're going to focus on are two most famous verses in this passage, which is verses 5 and 6. So let's go ahead and pick up in Proverbs chapter number 3 and consider this today. He shall direct thy paths. Verse number 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, once again, he doesn't just say head here. He's talking about his heart. It's something that's personal, something that we should take and make it ours. So many oftentimes we have the rules in our head, but we've never truly understood the love or the meaning behind it. Make it part of your heart. And it says, and there's rewards for that, for length of days and long life. And this next phrase, and peace shall they add to thee. I like verse number 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. You say, well, who in the world would let mercy and truth forsake them? And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And it says, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse number 5, let's read these next two verses all together. And even if you know it by heart, you can quote it without looking at it. I know it by heart, but I'm still going to read it just to make sure I get it right. But let's read them all together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's something over the years the Lord has taught me. In verse number 5, there's the word all. And in verse number 6, there is the word all. Both those things. Because we don't mind saying, hey, I don't mind in some of my understandings, you know, acknowledging God. But he says, in all thy ways. And then also you see in verse number 5 when it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We don't mind giving him part of our heart, but it's all thine heart. Let's keep on going. Verse number 7, I'll just read. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Verses 11 and 12, like I said, if I preach tonight, are things we're going to look at a little bit. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know how much we need your help. We need your direction. We need your leadership. Lord, even especially today, Lord, I ask that you, Lord, keep my thoughts clear and, Lord, help the message to go through exactly the way you want it to. Lord, help it to be delivered into people's hearts and minds by the Holy Spirit of God, the importance of letting you direct our steps. Thank you for loving us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at verses 5 and 6, and we're starting at the end of verse number 6 and working our way back around. First point, if you're taking an outline, would be needed direction. You find it at the end of verse number 6, where he says, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, sometimes when you're younger, you feel like you know everything. Sometimes as you get older, you realize, hey, I'm getting more and more knowledge, but you realize how much you really don't know. And as I've gone in the last number of years being in the ministry, being here for over 20 years, I've learned to understand something. I don't really know a clue. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do without God's help. And that's what we see here in this scripture, in this reference, it's the end, this is the reward. He shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. Here's the thought process here, is that this is what we need. This is what we need to desire. We need to come to a point of realization, without God, I do not know what I'm supposed to do. Without his word, I need his leadership. I need his direction. So this is a needed direction. And that's what I love this. See, he shall direct thy paths. And you say, Pastor, of course I know what to do a little bit. I don't know. I come across situation after situation after situation that seems like, what are you supposed to do? You know, there are certain things that popped in my mind, certain situations where you got people who live godly, but they live with someone that maybe is ungodly. And you're just like, I don't know how to help them. Yes, we take them to the scriptures. You always go back to Jesus. But you're sitting there and you're wondering, what am I supposed to do in this situation? We need to let the Lord lead and direct our steps. Not only that, I think about people that deal sometimes with mental health issues. And you want to be there and you want to be helpful with them. And sometimes you look at it and you're like, I don't know what to do. But you know, what are we supposed to do? And yes, there is hope found in the scripture. There is truth that's found in the scriptures. But it all boils down to this. I need God to lead and direct in my steps. I need him to direct the path. I need him to give him exactly what he wants me to do, what the next step is. I need to understand what the Bible is saying so I can apply it to my heart and apply it to my life. I need clear direction when it comes to certain things, when it comes to finances, or when it comes to relationships. I've learned something in the last 50 years. Relationships can be hard. They can be difficult. Dealing with family members can be hard. It can be difficult. Dealing with physical issues can be hard. They can be difficult. Dealing with other people, saved, unsaved, can be very hard and very difficult. We need to learn to utter dependence. A need dependence, a complete dependence upon what? That we would ask God to lead and direct our steps. So often, We've done what we wanted to. You know what happened? We made a mess of things. We've let things just get blown up. And we just like, well, this is the way I thought. This is the way I understood it. This is the way I thought I should do. And that's why we need to understand what this passage is telling us, that we need to get to a spot where it says, God, I need you to lead my steps. I need you to direct my path. I need you to direct my steps. This is what I need you to do. I need you to give me clarity here. And I want you to give me understanding what you want me to do. And the great thing is there's promises in the Bible. And if we trust God and we believe God, he will lead us. He will direct us. He will give us wisdom. Like it says in James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I love that verse because of the fact that at that point in time, God says, I'll give you the wisdom you need. You have to trust him with it. And that's what these verses here in Proverbs chapter 3, they're so close and they mean so much to people because there are certain steps. Look, if you'll trust in the Lord of all thine heart and if you'll not lean into your own understanding, but in everything, and I'm not paraphrasing, I'm not misquoting the wrong version of the Bible, but it's the idea, everything. And if I'll acknowledge God in everything, then he answers that promise. I'm going to direct your paths. So this is what we need to understand is the world has gone crazy sometimes. The world is very broken. It has sin-filled. And we are entering into a generation living on the cusp of eternity, never knowing when Christ could come back at any moment. And we do not know exactly how we should live and what we should do. The Bible gives us clear, direct principles of what we should do and what we should say, all these different things. But we need God to lead our paths. We need God to direct our paths. We need God to clear out the way and say, God, this is what I want you to do. But the great thing is, if we learn to trust in him, if we learn not to trust in ourselves, and we learn to acknowledge God, he says, I will direct your paths. And I love that. I think about it. One of my favorite Psalms, it's not my favorite. Psalms 37 is my favorite. Psalms 23 is one of my favorites. And most of us know that passage. But what a wonderful passage of scripture. What does it talk about? It talks about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But then it continues to talk about how he can direct us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's like, if I allow God to be my shepherd, if I make him numero uno in my life, what does a sheep do? A sheep doesn't lean to its own understanding if they're going to be directed. They're counting on the shepherd. If the shepherd, they count on the shepherd for what? Everything they need, for protection, for the food, all those different things. And when they make a mess of it, then they're not really allowing him to shepherd them. But he says those different things. He lies me in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he does all these things, the path of righteousness for my name's sake. Then he goes, says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even when I'm in the most dangerous times of my life where I understand that I could leave this world at any moment of time, he's like, I will fear no evil. I don't have to be afraid because why? Because the Lord's directing my path. If God's directing my path, I don't have to be afraid what's going to happen next because God knows everything. He's in charge. If I will just follow these principles, and I let him lead my path. Not only does he say that, I love this part, and probably my favorite verse in Psalms 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love that. He's saying the shepherd actually puts the table right in the presence of all the enemies. You know, where usually we're hiding, we don't want it. No, he says, like, right in the midst of them, God can still prepare a table. And that's what I want. I want God to lead and guide. I don't care about being in the presence of my enemies, but I do love the thought that even though some are doing wrong and some are an enemy, that God can still provide right in the midst of that. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's so much that's there. And that's the idea of the picture, that he's the shepherd. I'm letting him direct my paths. That's what a sheep is supposed to do, is allow the shepherd to direct their paths over and over. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, this is what we should desire. I want the Lord to direct my paths. I want to know what the will of the Lord is. I want true success. But the question is, what is success? Really, if we all boil it down to, what is success? Is it the amount in the bank account? Is it how big the house is? How many children you have? I mean, what is success? How big your church is? How many people listen to you? How many people like you or like things on Facebook or, you know, all the social media things? I got this many followers. But what is truly success? And once again, Pastor, it sounds like you're leaning to your own understanding. Well, I'm trying to prove a point. What some people think is success, it is equaled with dollars. It's equal with relationships. But true success is finding out whatever God wants you to do and then doing it. True success is this world is temporal, but I live for eternity, which is for millions and billions or however many ever years it is. And once again, I know you can't put a cap on that or a number on that, but what is success really living for here and now? And that's why we need to say, Lord, this is your world. I belong to you. What is it that you want me to do in this world? What is it? And so you come to the spot, I need to hear from him. And he says, at the end of the verse, it says, and he shall direct thy paths. Isaiah 58:11 puts it this way. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought to make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Psalms 32:8 puts it this way. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I mean, it's great. He's given us promise after promise after promise after promise. I'm willing to lead you. I'm willing to guide you. I'm willing to do this for you. I'm willing. But how do we allow it? Because I know if we were honest and say, I don't know what to do in this relationship. I don't know what to do with this person. I don't know what to do here. Economy's going bad. My relationships with my children or my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, maybe parents, it struggles. You know, what am I supposed to do? Let the Lord lead your path. Well, how do I let the Lord direct my path? It's found right here. But we must understand there is a needed direction. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Wouldn't that be great? If God was right there with you and say, hey, go ahead and make that turn and make that turn. It's sort of like almost listening to the GPS, and at 200 feet, make a left, and 300 feet, make a right. You know, all these different things. What the Bible is saying there is that the Holy Spirit of God lives within us, and that still small voice will give leadership and will give direction. I remember when I answered God's call to preach at junior camp, ages 12, 13, 14, something like that. I don't remember exactly what the time and date was. I do remember specifically the service. But I remember when God got a hold of my heart when I was about 25, I was living for myself, doing things I wanted. Don't get me wrong, I was involved in church. I taught adult Sunday school class. I taught junior church. I was super involved, came to all the services. But I was trying to fill things in and trying to do things for the Lord so that way I could fill a void that was missing. What was that void that was missing? It's doing what he wanted me to do. And I began to talk to my pastor, and we sat down in long discussions about trying to figure out the Lord's will, believing he was calling me to preach and all those other things. I said, wouldn't it be great if God just wrote it up in the sky? This is what I want you to do. I think that would be wonderful. If God would write it in the sky, then I would do whatever he told me. And I specifically was talking about pastoring. I was specifically talking about what I believe he was calling me to do, that if I knew this is what God wanted to do, I would go do it. And then he brought to my attention, and he brought also to my heart, and the Holy Spirit really drove it deep. He said, it's written right here. It's right there. There's a lot of things in this book that I tell you I want you to do and you don't do. Why in the world should I tell you what else I want you to do when you're not even willing to do what it's found in here? Understanding what the will of the Lord is, it's there. But yes, I know specifically the calling of God on my life to come here to Faith Baptist Church. He opened up those doors, to work with Pastor Thompson those years, to work and minister here as a pastor for these years. I knew it was what the Lord wanted, but at the same time, the thought that came across my path was, if it was right in the sky, he wrote it in a book, and if I'm not willing to obey what's in this book to begin with, why in the world would he tell me the other things he wants me to do? It becomes an idea of need it. Direction. There is a needed direction. I need, he shall direct my paths. I truly need this. We must get over ourselves and thinking that I don't need God's help in certain areas of our life. We need and utterly dependent upon him for every decision. You mean everything? Well, what does it say there? And all thy ways acknowledge him. It doesn't say, hey, and the things you have a question about, go ahead and ask God about it. It doesn't. It says, in all thy ways. It means that God's got a plan and purpose for all our lives in every area. Now, once again, I know sometimes we got to make decisions, and you got to make decisions spur of the moment. I'm not telling you need to stop and ask God, hey, do you want me to make a right or left in the middle of the highway? I'm not saying those things. I think you understand what I'm saying is that we live in a world that is broken. We live in a time period. We're facing things that we've never faced before, and this world has never seen before. We want to know how to help our children. We want to know how to help the teenagers. We want to know how to help the college age. But you know what? We don't even ourselves abide what he says. This is how you're going to direct. He's going to direct your paths. He's going to show us what he needs us to do. But there are some things that he gives as a prerequisite before he's going to direct his paths. So the first thing would be needed direction. The second thing I want you to think about is completely depend on the Lord. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now that word trust in the Lord, that word trust talks about confidence, to commit the care of. I am trusting you with my child. When you drop someone off at a classroom, if you're a teacher, I'm trusting you with my child. Or a teen activity, I'm trusting you with my child. There's an expectation that you will take care of my child. I'm trusting you with this. I'm trusting you. So that's the idea there, that we turn around with all of our heart. We give confidence to God and say, Lord, I'm trusting you with all my heart. That's what it says here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So every part of it. Now, when we think about the word heart, we think about as the center of life. It's talking about our decision-making spot. It's our will. It's our intellect. And the question is, are you trusting him with all your heart? Because it's easy to trust him with a portion of it, but there's certain areas we want to keep compartments that are closed off. There are certain things, hey, God, I'll trust you with my soul because I know I can't save my soul for myself. I know I'm a sinner. I know that without you, I'm lost and dying and heading to a horrible place called hell. God, I cry out to you with faith and repentance. I trust in you, and I'm trusting you with my soul, but it's my whole heart. Am I trusting you with my relationship with my family? Am I trusting you with that relationship with that person I don't really particularly like? Am I trusting you with that, with my finances? Am I trusting you with how to raise my children? Of course we say that, but once again our hearts become questionable. They become torn a little bit. I really love my children, but I really love God, but then we want to please our children. Sometimes we can't please our children because we want to please the Lord. Sometimes that happens. We know it's what's best, and sometimes even with our wives or with our husbands, and sometimes even with people that you're close with, you must learn to do what is right, but you must say, God, you can have my whole heart, not just part of it. You can have all of it. That's what he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Are you trusting him with that burden? Boy, there's burden sometimes. One of the things they were saying was with my headaches that were happening was my blood pressure got a little bit high. I've never had high blood pressure. More of the times they look at it and say, boy, that's really low. And I'm thinking it's not because I'm healthy. I mean, you can see I'm a little bit overweight and this and that, but my blood pressure is a little high. And that's one of the medicines they gave me. Not sure if that helped or with the problems I was having with fluid in my ears. It was one of the two things. One of the two medicines took the headache away, hoping it's not the blood pressure medicine because I don't want to stay on it forever. But with all those things being said, am I trusting the Lord with that burden? That stress. The doctor looked at me and says, well, you have a stressful job. I says, I can't have a stressful job. And he says, yeah, you can. I says, it can't be stressful. Well, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. Quoted the verse to him. It says, look, it says, be careful for nothing. But in, talk about giving everything over, prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known unto God. So I preached at the doctor a little bit. I says, I can't be stressed. You're not supposed to be stressed. But it happens because why? Because relationships happen. People don't behave the way they're supposed to. There's a spiritual battle that happens that rages. And when it's a pastor, they rage even greater sometimes. And that's why you should support and love and pray for your pastor. It's just something that should happen. It's just if the Lord has you here, that's what you should do. And so I says, I don't think it's stress. But, of course, doctors are all knowing, right? Oh, no, they practice medicine, but I think that I like my doctor. He does the best he can, and I appreciate him, and I appreciate the people who helped me get feeling better. That's for sure. But at the same time, I had to learn to trust him. He prescribed certain medicine for me. I trusted him to pick the right medicine. Somebody asked me today, well, what blood pressure medicine you're on? I'm like, really? I don't know what blood pressure medicine I'm on. It's on some piece of paper. My head was hurting so bad, he could have put me on anything. I would have trusted him if it could have got that headache away. What blood pressure medicine? I know, and different things. I trusted him. He wrote it. I trusted the people at Walgreens to fill it with the right stuff. Do I technically know what I'm taking? No. Could they put something else in the bottle? I know it made me feel better. So, but besides that, we trust people with different things. We really, truly do. I would not trust my doctor or the people at Walgreens with spiritual intake. Just wouldn't do that. Why is that? Because I'm not trusting with all my heart. I am trusting him with some of my medical things. But I'm trusting him in certain areas, but I'm not going to trust him with other things. How about in your life? Is there something that you say, I'm not trusting the Lord with? And that's one of the things I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, when I'm sitting here, Lord, I want to trust you with all my heart. I'm trusting you to take care of these headaches. And trusting you, Lord, I every part, Lord, what is it that you want? What is it that you desire? God, I want to. And there are burdens and there's stresses in life, and I don't know what to do. And if somebody says they know exactly what to do every single moment of time, hopefully they're letting the Lord lead and guide them. But normally it's because of the fact that they're prideful and they feel like no one can ever tell them anything. We must depend on the Lord. We must trust in the Lord. We do not know everything. But his word tells us the truths, the things we need to learn. So if we want him to direct our paths, and that directing of the paths, one preacher kind of put it this way. It talked about it clears out the paths. It completely causes the path to be known and evident. And so are you trusting God with every area of your life? With your burdens, with your sicknesses, with your bills, with your relationships. And that's, are we trusting him with all of our heart? That's what he says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Is there something in your life that you're not trusting him with? Then how is he going to be able to direct your paths? Well, I'm going to give him access to this part because I need his help financially because I'm struggling. No, it's all your heart. You can't say, hey, I want you to give me a direction in this area and I'm going to keep this part. He says to direct thy paths, you got to, it's trusting him with all thine heart. Not only is it that, is so we have needed direction completely depending on God's. And the third point would be, we can't trust ourselves. We can't trust ourselves. Now, I know this is completely different than what the world tells you to do. Trust your heart. The Bible tells you not to trust your heart. The Bible goes as far as saying, and I know this is not a popular verse, he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. It's in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. You know, lean not into thine own understanding. Well, that's not the way I see it. That's not the way I understand it. What does the Bible say? That's what we need to understand. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He says, your heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Bible says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. No one likes to hear that, hey, I can't trust myself. But that's what the Bible tells us. Rely on his word. Rely on his direction. Rely on his leadership. Always continue to be looking. Always continue to be asking. Once again, as you fill yourself with the word of God, and you fill your heart with the word of God, he's going to lead and direct your path. So never get to a spot where you say, well, I don't need God's help with this. I can just put it on neutral. I can put it on cruise control and just cruise my way right through this. You're going to cruise your way right through it through not going his way. Directing your paths, looking to him daily, seeking after him. He talked about searching with him for his whole heart. Recently, we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it's a few weeks ago on Sunday night, it says, Paul was saying this, but with me is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. And what he's saying here is, you know what? He's like, it's not really a big deal if you judge me. And we don't really like to be judged by other people. Sometimes we are. It's not a big deal. He says, I don't even judge myself. And he says, it's the Lord that judges me. It's the Lord that says, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. It's God that does the judging. And we worry about, I wonder what so-and-so is going to think about me. I wonder, and once again, we shouldn't want to have a good testimony. But even if you live for God and have the most wonderful testimony before God, you know what? Before man, people are going to say things and people are still going to talk. Live for him. Yes, you have authority. Yes, you have things in your life that you got. I understand all that. And we want to have the right testimony. But we must learn, I can't let someone else dictate whether or not I'm going to let the Lord lead and guide me. And care about what God thinks. And just truly, honestly, what does God feel about how you look at things and how you act towards things? Forget about worrying about what everybody else thinks first, or even judging your own self. Well, this is how I see or I understand it. No. He says, I don't even judge myself. Why is it? Because my heart's desperately wicked. It's going to deceive me. And he says, who can know it? The Lord can know it. So we cannot trust ourselves. If you go back up a few verses, and there you could preach a whole message in verses 1-4, but what it says in verse number 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. It's an idea there, who's going to forsake mercy? I mean, it talks about the loving kindness of God. But here's the thing is, if we do not trust in the Lord, we're forsaking mercy. God's got a plan. God's got a mercy. God has an intention for our life. He wants to provide grace for you. He wants to demonstrate grace. He wants you to have success. He wants you to live the blessed life. No, I'm not talking about getting rich. You're going to have to go on TV and watch somebody talk about prosperity gospel. It's not in the Bible. It's wrong. It's not true, because the disciples, the apostles, all those guys, they weren't, you know, getting rich in health and wealth, prosperity gospel. That's not biblical things. But will you forsake the mercy of God when you began to believe a lie? Jonah 3, I think it's Jonah 2, verse number 8. They that observe vanities forsake their own mercy. I love that verse. Jonah's there. He's praying in the belly of the whale. He's there. He's praying. And inside his prayer, he says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He knew God had a plan and purpose for his life. And he forsook God's mercy because he believed a lie. That's what that lying vanity is. It's a worthless lie that so many people have let creep into their hearts and creep into their minds because they've let their heart deceive them into believing a lie. And as they believe a lie, they begin to question God. They begin to question God's goodness. They begin to question God's faithfulness. They begin to question. They would never say that out loud till years later. They have to start saying it because something has to happen, because they've no longer are they trusting in themselves. They're trusting in their own selves. They believe the lie. They've let things occupy their hearts, and they let things occupy their mind. That's why the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. If something is trying to go up against what you know is right, what the Word of God says, get rid of it. Because when you begin to observe those lies, you begin to observe what makes sense to you, but is contrary to the Word of God, you're forsaking the mercy of God. You're forsaking what God has planned for you, and you truly will not find success, because he will not direct your paths. They that observe lying vanities. And I've met people that believe lies. Well, this is how I see it. This is what... Does it really matter what we think based off of what the Word of God says? We must learn to depend upon that. I know you say, well, the Bible's not open for private interpretations. And I know we have to learn and understand the Word of God. But when we fill our hearts with the Word of God, and not our own understanding, I read my Bible, when we fill our hearts and we continually think on it, blessed is a man that walketh not this, that, but he delighteth what? In the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Fill your hearts. Don't observe the lying vanities. Don't anything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The Bible says, casting down those things, bringing into obedience every thought into obedience of Jesus Christ. Those are the things that he says, if you really want him to direct your path, if you really want him to show you, I don't know what to do in this relationship. I don't know what to do with this problem. I don't know what to do in this world. I don't know what's next. Starts right here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. There is a need of dependence, and it's not on you. Lean not to thy own understanding. Next one is acknowledge God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Now, he's like, well, what does it mean to acknowledge God? Now, here's a couple things. You ever wanted something really, really bad, and you know you're supposed to pray for it, and you know you want God's blessing, but you just kind of do this feigned prayer. God, if you don't want me to have it, just take it away. You might think that's kind of silly, but how often do we pray that? There's been times in my life where I've wanted something and I know I'm supposed to pray about it, but I know it probably wasn't the best thing. And I said, God, I really like to have this different car. God, if it's not supposed to be, you know, do something to stop it. And once again, after praying, after seeking the will, if you're not 100% sure, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, Lord, shut the door. But I'm talking about just saying some words just to show up and say, we can tell everybody, well, I prayed about it. We like to use that, but many times it's a lie. We feign pray about it. We do it to ease our own conscience. We're not really truly seeking after the Lord. We have not with our whole heart, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with all our heart, and we're not leaning to our own understanding because we can convince ourselves of things and all thy ways acknowledge him. But means I'm acknowledging there is a God. I mean, I know that there is a God that has a plan and a purpose for my life. And I know he has a desire for me. That's what acknowledging God. He is God. He is the one that can do all things. So if I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and I'm not going to lean my own understanding, if I can't lean to my own understanding, who am I supposed to lean on? I'm supposed to acknowledge him. He's God. And these are the things I'm supposed to be listening for. These are the things I'm supposed to be looking for. These are the things that I'm trusting in. I'm acknowledging him. And then he says, and he shall direct thy paths. So with all this being said, do we need God's direction? We do. Whether you have a child at home or a teenager at home, or whether you have if you're just part of a church, whatever it is that you have in your life, there are so many different things, so many different variables, and so many other things we're wondering about. What am I supposed to do? It's the world's gone crazy. The world's gone bad. You know, you got a government that doesn't want to do right. And you got people fighting. You got backbiting. You got wars that are happening. You got people, guys who think they're girls and girls who think they're guys. You got mental health issues. And I'm not minimizing any of these things. These are all things that hurt. And these are all things that people are observing, lying vanities. They hurt. They are people's lives that you're dealing with, these emotions that you're dealing with. We need God to lead us. We need God to lead us as a church. We need God to lead us as families. We need God to lead us as individuals. We need God to direct our paths. How we do this? We learn first to have our confidence and our trust in him with our whole heart, not just part of it. You mean the whole heart? You mean the person who I'm supposed to marry? Yes. With that part of your heart too. You mean the part that controls my finances? Yes, that part too. You mean the part where it talks about I'm supposed to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving? Yes, that part too. You mean the part that says I'm supposed to submit to my husband, the part I'm supposed to love my wife? Yes, with my whole heart. I'm not holding anything back. With all of my heart, I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. This makes sense to me, but I'm going to acknowledge God. God, this is what your word says. I'm going to do it your way. I'm trusting in you. That's when he says, I'll clear the path. I'll make it happen. Until then, the water is going to be a little murky, a little bit muddy. Till then, we're going to still be leaning into our own understanding. We don't like to acknowledge God when it comes to certain things because we have our own reasoning, our own understanding, and it makes sense to us. So what other choice do I have? It's my heart. It's who I am. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give it over to him. Say, Pastor, that means there are certain things. I know it means there are certain things I have to give up. I know there are certain things that it hurts to give up. I know a certain things, but if we really, truly think we need God to lead us, then those are things we have to say no to for a greater yes. There are certain things we must learn to say no to hear a greater yes. And there are certain things in our lives we must learn to acknowledge God in every area of life. Does God want me to treat that person a certain way? Yes. Now, I don't know if any of you think this, but as I'm writing my sermon, I'm thinking, what does it have to do with the furtherance of the gospel? Everything. Because why? We need to trust the Lord with all our heart. God tells us to do what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lean on to thy own understanding. Well, I don't think I should have to do it. Or I don't feel comfortable to. Don't lean into your own understanding. Acknowledge God. God said it, so I want to do it. And then he'll clear the path for you to do it. But so often, we don't. We instead want to hold to ourselves. If you go down to verses number 11 and 12, like I said, I was going to mention those tonight, if I preach tonight, it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son whom he delighteth." If God is trying to do something in your heart and life, don't ignore it. Conviction is not a curse, it's a blessing. If you're doing something wrong and the creator of the universe wants you to change it, guess what? Conviction is something he brings into our heart and life, says, you need to change this. If he just let you continue on doing something that was foolish, what type of God would do that? And the same thing is saying here with the father. He says, even a father and the son in whom he delighteth. He delights in the son. He wants to see the son do what's right. And because of that, he chastens them. He corrects them. He doesn't let them continue to make the same mistakes. Are you observing a lying vanity? Is there a lie that you've been buying into? Well, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. And I appreciated Brother Barry's Sunday school lesson. He talked about how he wasn't good with mercy. And I get that. I understand that. There are certain gifts that were better than others at. But we want to make sure that we are still trying to be merciful because that's what God wants us to do. There are certain things I'm not good with. You got the love, you got the joy, you got the peace, you got the long-suffering, you got the gentleness. You got all those different fruits of the Spirit. There are certain fruits of the Spirit that is not my strong suit. You know what? That's what the Holy Spirit can produce, though. We don't just say, hey, I don't have to do that part. I don't have to be a soul winner because God hasn't. That's leaning to your own understanding. It doesn't mean that we stop giving just because we don't have as much to give. Doesn't mean we stop telling just because we're not as talented as so-and-so. Doesn't mean that we don't stop teaching, you know, all those different things. Don't believe a lie. God is enabling you to do exactly what he wants you to do. Acknowledge him. You say, it's tough. It is hard. One of the things that you consider that back in the Old Testament, especially, there's the altar. You know, altar this, altar that. Abraham built an altar. Jacob built an altar. Isaac even built an altar. You know, why did they build altars? Because they were sacrifice. That's what the Christian life has always been about. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice. It doesn't say life is going to be easy when you serve the Lord. It says it's going to be a sacrifice. And that's what we're saying here. And he shall direct that path. I need God's direction. This past week, I was sitting there saying, Lord, I want it. Give me what it is. But it's the same thing. If he would write it in the sky, he's written it in a book. He doesn't need to write it in the sky. Sometimes it gets cloudy, but inside the book, it's right here. And you know what? If we will learn to obey what he is telling us here, he's saying, you know what? I'll direct your paths for the future. And if you go and look up that the idea of directing a path, it means clearing out the path. It means making it certain. There are certain times, I know, where we get to a spot and say, I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to do. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which give it to all men liberally. We trust it, and we make decisions based off all the biblical principles we know. I don't see people get in trouble that way. What I see people get in trouble with is I'm not going to acknowledge God. If I pray, it's only going to be a feigned prayer. And the fact it makes myself feel good. And that way I can tell my preacher, or I tell my friends, I can tell my family, well, I prayed about it. Even though I hear people saying things that they're going to do things that are just unbiblical. I prayed about it. Did you really? Did you acknowledge him in every area of it? Acknowledge him. And then let him lead you, let him direct you. When it comes to salvation, well, I don't understand why I have to get saved. The Bible tells us we have to. If you're saved today, there came to a realization that you trusted the Lord with all your heart. It didn't make, even if it made sense or didn't make sense to you, that didn't matter. The fact that Christ died for us, we're sinners, we're lost. Christ died for us, and he called us, and we believed and trusted in him as he convicted our hearts of sin. So this morning, are you a believer today? Not based off your own understanding. Well, I think that God's going to this and that, and he's going to judge my good works versus my bad works. Doesn't matter what you think. It matters what truth is. Don't lean into your own understandings. Believe what God says. And that we all must call upon him, that we all must turn to him, that we all must trust in him. If you've never done that, let me encourage you during invitation time. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. But to the majority I know that are in this room, I've heard most of your testimonies, and I know many of you believe and profess to be saved. Praise the Lord for that. You need God's direction. For us to live in a naive way, it's a lying vanity to think that we don't need God's help. We need God's direction, and the way we find it is when we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, all thine heart. Lean not into thy own understanding in all thy ways. Not just the ways, but I'm going to acknowledge God here and how I should train up my child because I get to tell them what to do. Well, that's good, but acknowledge him where you're supposed to be submissive too. I'm going to acknowledge him when it comes to my service. I'm going to acknowledge him when it comes to my giving. I'm going to acknowledge him when it comes to the way I treat other people. I'm going to acknowledge him when it comes to the loss. When I'm going to acknowledge him and acknowledge him and acknowledge him in every area of my life. There's not some type of what type of entertainment I'm watching. I'm a child of God. I'm going to acknowledge that if I'm watching something that's appropriate or inappropriate for a child of God, I'm going to acknowledge him. I'm going to acknowledge him. Stop believing a lie that we do not have to acknowledge the Lord if we want him to direct our paths. Got some young people in a room, not a lot, but we got some college-age young people talking about marriage and future things. And, you know, someday they want to get engaged. Someday they want to get married. They need to trust the Lord with that. And that's we would all agree with that. You don't want to be married to the wrong person. What our famous bachelors would say is better to be not married than to be married to the wrong person. I've heard that more than once. And the reality is, it's true. We need to let the Lord lead and direct our paths. We live in a crazy world where he has a plan for us. He put us here this time, this period, given us this church, done all these things. He's got a plan and purpose. What is true success? It's finding the will of God and doing it. How do I know the will of God? Is by trusting him with all your heart. Not trusting in yourself and acknowledging him. Then he says, I'll direct your paths. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for giving me strength and, Lord, help today. Lord, I pray that the message went through loud and clear, that you would help us to all understand, number one, how much we desperately need your direction. When you say that, I will direct thy paths, Lord, help us to desire that so much. Help us to be a prayer request. Lord, I just want to know what you want me to do. And then help us remind us that we need to learn how to trust in you, put complete confidence in you, and trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And Lord, that we can't lean to our own understanding. Lord, that we would learn to understand what the Bible says about our heart. And it's not about us, not about what we think, but we let the word of God to just overflow into our lives. And Lord, that we acknowledge you, every area, every part. You're God, I'm a child of God. I don't want to fake pray. I truly want to hear what you have to say. And I know sometimes it's taking a step of faith. I know sometimes if we don't see clearly that we will have to take a step of faith at times. The Bible talks about if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We're supposed to receive that wisdom. Nothing wavering. We're supposed to believe that you're going to give us that wisdom. But what happens in many of our lives is we don't acknowledge you. We acknowledge you when we feel like where it's all out of control, when there's a family member that's just overwhelmed and we don't know how to help, when cancer becomes an issue, when disease becomes an issue, when children become to a point that you just don't know what to do. Lord, would you help us to acknowledge you in the good times and also the bad times? Lord, we need you to direct our paths. Help us not to despise what you're trying to bring and do in our lives, but instead, Lord, embrace what you have for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.